Hey there, and welcome to the Event Crushed podcast. Each week, we'll be chatting about all things wedding industry, entrepreneurship, and how to crush it in life and business. I'm so glad you're here. Now, let's dive into this week's episode. Hello, and welcome to the second episode of the Event Crushed podcast. Today on the show, we're going to have a very special guest. We're going to have Andrew Hart with Hart Systems Bookkeeping. And Andrew is an incredible bookkeeping professional, and he also happens to be my husband. So he'll be sharing 5 tips for getting your business finances in order, which ultimately will lead to a more organized, profitable, and sustainable business. So let's get right on to it. Well, hey, Andrew, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, hello. This is so fun. Thank you so much for having me. I am super honored to be here.
Of course. It's pretty crazy to get to have my husband as my first podcast guest. So I'm super excited to talk to you today. And I know that you have a lot of really great wisdom to share with us. So before we jump into all the great content that you're going to be sharing, I would love to have you give us some background on who you are and what you do. I did give an intro in the beginning telling our listeners about your bookkeeping company, Hart Systems Bookkeeping, but I would love for you to just tell us a little bit about it, what you do for your clients, and how you got into bookkeeping.
Sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, as you mentioned, you and I are married. We're coming up on our 15th anniversary, and we have a couple girls. So that's really how a lot of my time is spent, and whatever the heck I'm doing is to support you and Addie and Emmy for family life. Let's see, for work. Yeah, I do bookkeeping. I didn't always do bookkeeping. Kind of a weird step into it. Before that, it was just customer service jobs in the food industry, and I was driving a route truck. Most recently before doing this full time. And what I came across, I wish I would have come across like my junior year of high school, to find something that really aligns with just my natural, I don't know, skills and abilities. And I feel like so many years were wasted, not wasted, of course, but missed years, you know, they were missed years of not getting into this thing that was fulfilling and helpful to the clients I serve. So the thing I'm talking about is actually a personality test, the Myers-Briggs personality test. I got a kind of a whim one day to look up my personality test. So for the record, I'm an ISTJ. And so I did careers for ISTJ, and I found that super helpful. Apparently there's a lot of research done for all the different letter combinations for these personality types. And I thought it was extraordinary how just, you know, kind of gut reaction when I started reading the list of professions that personality type is good at or well equipped to, it was clear that it was like really well researched. So I did that and I found a bunch that I could align with. And some of them were, I mean, on point, right? Like accountant or actuary. Some of them were like law enforcement, military officer, judge, this kind of thing. And I found one. I had to find the balance of what I could do and that didn't require a college degree. And also, by the way, that didn't take me into the military. I guess it's probably bad timing to be, you know, married and then well established there and then go join the military. So I found bookkeeping, which is along the lines of that accountant, but being an accountant requires a college degree. I don't have a college degree. I found some other kind of education to teach me how to do the basics of bookkeeping and how to start the business, which is a great great resource I found. But that helped me get into the bookkeeping. And since then, it's been completely in line with where my natural skills and abilities are and a place where I could help people. And most of my clients are here local, but I could really help people across the country, across the world, you know, anywhere I have an internet connection. I'm a virtual firm. So anywhere I can get access to the internet, and get into their QuickBooks online file and do my thing, I can serve anyone anywhere. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And I would just like to point out that Andrew is an ISTJ and I am an ENFP, which means we're like completely opposite in every possible way, which is super fun.
at every layer, perfectly opposite letters. Yep.
Yeah, keeps things very interesting for sure. I also wanted to say it is super cool to see, to have watched you become an entrepreneur, because you were not somebody who I would have ever thought would have started their own business and became an entrepreneur. So it's been really fun watching you evolve into that and to leave, you know, those customer service jobs behind and now do something that is like super meaningful and you're, you know, making a big impact on your clients. And it's just so cool because now we both get to work from home and we both get to homeschool our girls and things that would never have been possible if you didn't take that leap. So it's just, it's been really cool to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Really cool. Great points. I can say with full confidence, Becky, that you have broadened my horizons more than any other person in my life. And so for that, I just want to insert another thank you for that. Not really on the topic of this podcast, but always worth saying thank you.
Aw, thanks, honey. That's really nice. Who would have thought we'd ever be on a podcast together in our respective offices? Andrew's like right outside this door here, just like on the other side with our matching headphones. Oh, that's great. So, Andrew, I know that you have some really great insight to share with our guests today about how wedding business owners can best kind of manage their finances and just make sure that the health of their business finances are in a really good place. So you have 5 tips that you're going to be sharing with us. So what is that first one?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So first of all, with anybody, we all need visibility and awareness to what's going on. So actually, let me take just a small break here. I think everybody's, so this is where I come from. It's really about the personal side, right? Your family, your household, you have your dreams and goals you want to go after. And then the business is a vehicle that you can use to get there. So for a lot of what I'm going to say about the business can actually be kind of moved over and looked at for the personal side too. In fact, this first main thing I'm going to mention definitely works for the personal. So I'm talking about needing visibility and awareness. You need some kind of thing that you can use, a tool, let's say a software tool that shows you what's going on more than just your bank balance, right? Because we can do a ton of stuff in our heads and keep track of when bills and amounts have to be spent and all this stuff. But then it gets confusing. We probably forget about stuff. So having this great place that's visible, that's not just the bank account balance or not just the calendar, but kind of a software that bridges all of that and more is what I think you need. And so, yes, you can use this for your personal and use it for your business. So the first tool, this hard tool that I fully recommend, and by the way, that I believe has changed our lives, mine and yours, Becky, this thing has a immense power. It's called YNAB, or it's the letters YNAB, stands for You Need a Budget. That's a software. There's a subscription, so it is paid, but it's so worth it for everything you get. First of all, it's not just a budget tool. There's kind of a methodology, a mindset around money that was probably the biggest, most powerful thing for my mental view on money, on finances. And like I said, it really turned our situation around. So yes, it's a subscription, but with one subscription, you get unlimited budgets. So you can use it for your personal household situation. And also you can have a budget for your business, which I highly recommend. Those things do need to be separate. Okay. Keep the business and the personal stuff separate. But this tool gives you awesome visibility and puts more control in your hands over your finances, which I think is where so much power comes from. I mean, just to disclose a little something to the audience, Becky, about our personal situation before and after YNAB. Very often, pretty much every time, right? Payday would be coming, but before that time got there, we would overspend. We would actually dip into our line of credit. So thankfully, we had this line of credit. I don't know what we'd do without that. That happened continually until we started YNAB. Literally, day one, YNAB, that never happened again. There's a lot to the tool to help, but that is a great first step to really get control over your finances. It's got some real-time, hands-on month, you know, throughout the month you're doing stuff, but also it's got some really great reporting. So now bringing it more toward the business, some businesses might be able to get away with just having this reporting for, you know, IRS compliance, whatever. It can function kind of like a P&L with your income minus expenses, what your net income is, you know, if it's a profit or a loss. It can operate that way. There's some nuanced differences that it may not be for everyone, but it could be a good place to start. And even if you do have this other fully, full double entry accounting tool like a QuickBooks or something, YNAB still has a place to have a real direct hands-on control of the day-to-day, week-to-week with how you're controlling your cash, which is awesome. I love it. I could talk forever about YNAB, but I'll leave it there. Becky, is there anything else we should clear up or anything else about YNAB you want to point out?
I guess just that we've been using it for many years now, and it really did, like you said, it changed our lives, which is crazy to think about. And the subscription fee is super reasonable. Isn't it like $80 a year?
96, something like okay. That.
Well, they've increased it a little bit over time, but that's for the whole year. So it's super, super duper reasonable. So yeah, highly, highly recommend. We're big fans of YNAB over here.
Yeah, we had we get a trial when you first start it. And I'm convinced, I'm certain that we saved that money just during that trial period. So it kind of paid for itself. You know, we got control. We ceased spending over here, and that just put cash, you know, more than subscription cost in our pockets to be able to pay the subscription. It paid for itself, basically, and it continues that every year.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Okay, so that's a bit about YNAB, and I mentioned it works for some business owners, but for a lot of others, you're going to need what's called a double entry accounting software. You've probably heard the term QuickBooks. I'm going to get there, but really quick. Okay, there's another product out there called Wave Accounting. Waveapps.com, I think, is the software, the website. And there's a free option, which is cool. And I've explored a little bit of it. It's actually pretty cool. It does produce your P&L, your balance sheet. It might be a little bit more hands-on. You got to really kind of know what you're doing. Not as intuitive as QuickBooks might be, but that's a free option. That's kind of a step above YNAB, in that it's a double entry accounting, produces your a proper P&L and balance sheet, and it's free. Where I spend most of my time, what I recommend most business owners once they get to a level of establishment would be QuickBooks Online. Okay, QuickBooks has been around for decades at this point. They've had the desktop version forever and then came out with this online. It's all kind of moving toward online, toward subscription. Anyway, it is paid multiple levels, but like I said, that's where I spend most of my time. All of my clients, that's what I use with them, and it works great. It also produces P&L, balance sheet, plus a ton more reports. It can do a lot of neat stuff. Invoicing, there's automations, the bank feed. For convenience and for efficiency, it's a great tool. That's where I recommend most people go.
Yeah, you've taught me so much about QuickBooks, and I think I'd be pretty clueless without you teaching me about it and showing me all the different reports and everything. And yeah, it's an incredible tool. So
accounting is kind of like its own language. So you're definitely not alone in having those kinds of questions or finding it confusing. So I'm glad I've been able to help, but please know that you're not alone. Your audience isn't alone. It's a confusing deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very true.
All right, so that whole tip was just about having the visibility and awareness on what's going on. Having some kind of tool that keeps stuff organized, more than just the bank account balance, more than just the calendar and trying to keep stuff in our heads, getting it splashed out there to really see clearly what's going on.
Awesome. Super great tip. What is the next thing that you would suggest wedding business owners or business owners in general to do with their, in regard to their finances?
Yeah. So it's kind of the logical next step from having stuff organized and having visibility and awareness. It's really digging in and starting to use that information to make the best decisions that you can in your business by knowing your numbers. So yes, we know about the P&L. Everyone talks about the profit and loss statement, how much revenue you're making and how much profit you have. And those are really good. I'm going to dig in more into that in just a moment. But I just want to point out here, there's also the balance sheet. These two reports are where every single entry or transaction that goes onto your books, it affects one or both of those reports. We can't ignore one and only look at the other. You got to look at the whole thing. You got to know your numbers. So over on the P&L, here's an example. You want to know if you are charging enough to your clients to maintain the margins so you can run the rest of your business so that you can get a good pay, have some money stored up for profit or a rainy day, be able to have money to pay your tax bill. I'm kind of leading into another tip later on, but these are all really important things that you got to be able to do. And if your costs go up over time and your revenue, like what you charge your customers, stays the same, that's eating your margins and you have less to work with later on. And so you want to be ahead of that wave and not be caught by surprise when you're all of a sudden end of year, you know, left with no profit, no cash to do what you need to do. So so knowing your numbers on a regular basis, checking in and seeing if you need to make different decisions or if you can have confidence knowing, yeah, what I'm doing is great. It's getting me to my goals.
Awesome. Yeah, super, super important stuff to know your numbers. And there's a lot more to it than people think. And it can be complicated. And that's why having a good program like QuickBooks is so important so that you can know your numbers. Was there anything else in that kind of second tip category that you wanted to add?
I'll kind of give another example, another concept here that might be widely overlooked and a surprise for people. And that is the nature of cash versus profit. So yes, again, P&L, okay, we got revenue, expenses, and net income or profit. Very often, that number is not sitting in the bank account. And so when a person's accountant says, hey, here's your tax bill, it's from this number right here, you know, your profit number, you look at the bank and say, I don't have the cash to pay for that. What happened? Where did it go? There is a difference between profit and cash. Or what's happening really is if we're looking at your P&L and you see all your revenue and then you see, okay, all my expenses, that's where my cash went. Okay, that's what I had to pay for. And then here's what I'm left with. Okay, that's not the end of the story. There's actually another report. I love this report so much. A third one on top of the two we've already talked about. It's called the Statement of Cash Flows. And it tells the story of cash, where it came from and where it went. So for example, if you have a loan, you got to pay that loan back. That's going to suck out your cash. And that doesn't hit your P&L. Okay, full disclosure, usually loans are broken up into interest and principal. And the interest is an expense you'll see on your P&L. However, when you pay the loan down, the principal portion, you're making that loan balance less, right? And that, again, sucks out your cash, but it shows up over on the balance sheet. So you got to look at your balance sheet over time to see how your liabilities are changing. Hopefully they're going down, you know, as you're paying that loan down, but liabilities overall, we want that number to go down, those balances to go down. We want assets to go up, and then that produces something called equity. It's nice. It's like the net worth of the business. And so we want to have that number grow over time, equity to grow over time. And we do that by increasing assets, decreasing liabilities. And that cash example that with that loan, I think is just overlooked. It comes as a nasty surprise when people realize, I see this number for profit, but you're telling me that that's you know, it's not in my bank account. So what happened? That statement of cash flows tells that story, but it does take some practice to kind of know how to read and analyze and interpret that story.
Yeah, definitely. As someone who had a business loan from when I bought the rental inventory, that was really interesting to learn about how it shows up in different ways. And the statement of cash flow. I like how you said it's like the story of cash. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like thinking about it that way.
Awesome.
Okay. So you've shared two really great tips with us so far. We are going to move on to the third one. What's next on the list?
Yeah. This is called Profit First. Number three is Profit First. And it's a cash management system. It's a framework that you get set up, and you, again, another tool that puts more control in your hands. You're telling your cash what to do so that it's ready to go for these really important purposes. So this is the thing I kind of mentioned a little bit. So rather than keeping all of your cash sitting in this one bank account where it can pretty easily get depleted, and then you're left with, let's say, zero or very little, this bypasses that. This helps with that situation. So instead of one bank account, you do have multiple bank accounts, and then you just make these transfers. This whole thing is a system that was brought forth by Mike Michalowicz, a great author. I recommend all of his books. One of his books is called Profit First, where you can learn a lot more about this. And so I'll pull some of his language. So the idea of a serving tray, right? You have your main account where all your money gets dumped into, and it acts as a big old serving tray. Then you're telling it, okay, I want this handful of cash to go over here for this purpose, and profit is first. Okay, profit first. We put money over there to be set aside for profit. You know, we mentioned very often we don't have the cash in the bank that's like on the P&L. Well, this helps us get there to make sure you have cash to correlate to the profits that you're bringing in. The next one, so that's one serving tray. The next serving tray is something called owner's compensation. So you, as a business owner, you took a step in faith to get this thing going. You deserve to be rewarded. You deserve your lifestyle to be sustained and supported by the business. Too often we hear about these stories of these business owners who choose not to or are not able to take a paycheck out of the business because the business just eats it up too much. Well, this framework kind of gets, again, ahead of that. Just another tool in your pocket to get more control of your cash as a start, maybe, for your overall financial picture. Business owners deserve to get a regular paycheck to support their lifestyle. By the way, there's also profit distributions. So there's one account for the owner's pay, but then every quarter, the idea is for the owner to get rewarded, you know, an extra little bonus for the investment that they have put into their business. Just like you invest in the stock market and get dividends back, or, you know, those companies kick out quarterly or whatever bonuses, not bonuses. Yeah, just profit distributions. They do it. I think you should do it too. You should get rewarded. This is on top of your regular lifestyle, you know, what am I looking for? Your regular lifestyle. This is just a bonus on top of that. Okay. We're not done yet. Then you have another tray, really important tray, for taxes. You make the business pay the tax bill, regardless of what entity type or structure you have. The idea is that the business pays the tax bill for you. If it comes through you as an individual, okay, so be it. But make the business set money aside so that it's ready to go and you can be without stress around tax time. you know, it's all based on percentages. Okay. You can read more specifics about it in the book, or if you really want to reach out, I'm happy to answer those kind of questions. But sometimes what happens is more money gets put into this account than is needed for the tax bill. And then you decide what to do. Another little juicy bonus, or put it back into the business to invest in something new. You got those decisions to make. Those really cool, awesome decisions, rather than really hard ones on the other side. You know, like, what do I got to cut now to get this money so I can pay my tax bill? You want to be, again, ahead of the wave. And then, of course, you do have business expenses, operating expenses. So that's where this last serving tray is. That's where kind of the remainder, you know, again, percentage goes into to run the rest of your business. And so you gotta set it up right. You don't want to have a shock to the system. You don't want to put 90% into profit. No, we're not doing that. You gotta go into it clear-headed, and you know, you're starting where you're at, and the idea is to get to these targets or these goals, and you do it little by little, making small adjustments on your way there. So there's no shock, but ultimately you're getting more and more in control, more and more ahead of the game as it concerns your cash and cash flow, because cash is the lifeblood of the business.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad that we started doing profit first in our businesses. And I believe that I was given that book, or like it was recommended to me. And then I tried to read it. I probably read maybe half of it. And then I got really overwhelmed because I'm not a numbers person per se. So I think I got really overwhelmed, and then I gave it to you. And then I don't know what the timeline was between, because that was many, many years ago. That was probably like 7 or 8 years ago, I want to say. Anyways, it was a while ago. And so then I gave you the book to read, and then at some point you read it, and then you just were like, yeah, really into it. And then we were able to implement this into our businesses. And so I'm very thankful for that, because it is an amazing, just again, another amazing tool that people can utilize.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it's not a replacement for any kind of accounting software. This is just a really actionable, hands-on, tactile thing you can do to get more control over your cash.
Definitely. Okay, so you have a couple more great tips to share with us. So what is number four?
Yeah, number four is around those pesky receipts. Or we could talk about the shoebox syndrome, right? End of year, you go to get your taxes done. Your accountant wants to see your receipts, and you bring him the shoebox. I'm sure they don't love that. I'm sure if you have a question about something or need to reference something, it's pretty hard to find the documentation for this particular thing. So I recommend moving away from that, where it's a physical storage box of these documents and receipts, and moving those into a digital format. There's a tool out there called HubDoc that, again, I use with my clients, and it's really handy. They can just snap a picture with their phone or forward an email receipt into this special kind of digital file cabinet, instead of having a physical one that you got to pull out and sift through the folders to find what you're looking for. This is a digital one of those, organized by date, by vendor. It's very searchable. If I need to search an amount or a vendor, I can do that really easily in this digital file cabinet. Oh, also sometimes physical receipts, they fade over time, right? So you put this receipt in this box over here. By the end of the year, you pull it out, it might be blank. So this is just a really, really neat tool to have all the visibility and access you need that's not reliant on physical storage, but digital.
Yeah, I love being able to manage my receipts this way. And as you were talking, I just realized, like, I have these receipts just sitting on my desk that I still need to put into our system. But it's so easy. You just take a picture with your phone and send it in. And yeah, it definitely beats like the file folders I used to have just filled with receipts for the whole year. So much easier. And then you can just throw them away after they're saved in there. So yes, big fans.
There you go. There you go. Nice. One more thing too. I didn't mention. There's capabilities, you know, these tools that I'm mentioning, they talk to each other. So you can actually take a receipt from HubDoc and make sure the information is correct and then hit a button to push it into or publish. And that record goes into your QuickBooks accounting software as a full and proper record. And that receipt's actually attached right there to that transaction. So it's like a double check. It's doubly present. The receipt is available right there in that transaction as well. It's really, really, really cool.
Yeah, super cool. Okay, so we're getting closer to the end now. We are on our final tip or piece of advice, Andrew. So what is your final words of wisdom for us?
Sure. So when it comes time, because there's a phase in the business where it's not appropriate, let's say, but when it comes time, hire a professional bookkeeper. One, most importantly, is because your time is better spent on growing the business, making it more efficient, than it does trying to run the books. Spending too much time and energy on the bookkeeping. If you did that, sure, it would save you some dollars per month because it's going to cost you money to hire a bookkeeper. But at some point, that number becomes a lot smaller than the money that you could be making by growing the business. It's an opportunity cost that that takes place if you choose to not grow the business because you're focused on doing the bookkeeping yourself. Now, if you love it, if you love doing the bookkeeping, if you just get overjoyed by doing it, then who am I to say stop, stop doing it?
You know, keep on.
There might be one, maybe one.
I'm sure they exist. They're a rare unicorn. It's definitely not me.
Yeah. So yes, there is a time in your business. There's a phase where it's not time yet to hire a professional. But when it comes time, then find a good one. Okay, you want someone who can report to you, you know, help you with what's going on, right? Giving you visibility, going back to the beginning, a visibility and awareness on what's going on, giving you some good advice on what to do, what decisions to make to run your business like you want to help achieve your goals. Like if you need to raise your prices, or hey, I'm sure you can probably save some money in this area. They have these, you know, it's another set of eyes on the situation to help guide you to ultimately achieve your dreams and goals. Someone should partner with you in those ways. Someone you can trust. Okay. You can probably find like a quiz. I mean, you want to get a good one because like I mentioned earlier, I don't have a college degree. I did find a course where I learned very good bookkeeping skills. But there's a lot of people out there who call themselves bookkeepers, and they cut corners or they don't know everything that they're supposed to make sure is in line. It's a sad reality, but that is a reality. And so you don't want to find one of those bookkeepers. You want to find a good bookkeeping professional, and you can find a quiz online and give it to them to see if they get all the answers right. You know, that's kind of one thing you could do if you wanted to go that route.
Like a quiz that like testing the bookkeeper on things that they should know?
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, just so some basic stuff that's basic in the accounting world. Like I said, a different language. Okay. So debits and credits and depending on if it's an asset or an expense or a revenue, what direction a debit makes and a credit makes, or you know, if this scenario happened, what is that doing to the books? You know, those kinds of things.
Okay, gotcha. They should have them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. just clarifying. Yeah, having a great bookkeeper is essential, you know, if you want to grow your business. And I can obviously speak to what a amazing bookkeeper you are. And you've been doing my books for years. And what you offer is just so much more than the traditional bookkeeper. It's not just running the numbers and running reports and then being like, okay, here you go. Like, you really do advise and guide your clients and help them make decisions. And you really do want the best for them. And I just think that really sets you apart. And just the whole kind of the modern day bookkeeper is a lot different than what it was in the past. And I just think it's really cool that whole profession has kind of evolved over the years. And it's a lot better now, which is great.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thanks for saying so. Can I share kind of a little scenario that kind of goes right into that?
Please.
Yeah. So this is the story of three professionals, and just to tease it, a good bookkeeping professional is one of the three. Okay. But let's start actually with the CPA. And the you know, their job, their advice, and then ultimately, what advice do you need to make the best business decisions that you can? Okay, so the CPA, their, you know, primary job is to, yes, file your taxes, but they're going to give you advice on how to minimize your tax burden. Okay, so a big go-to one is incur these expenses so that it reduces your profit and you'll pay less taxes. Okay, pretty simple, straightforward, and maybe that's good advice for you. However, professional number two, let's introduce the banker. Okay, so this is the person who you got to go to get financing, to get lending for, I don't know, this new purchase that you want to grow and expand your business with. You got to get a loan to do that, something like that. Okay, you're going to go to them. And if you took the CPA's advice and you made a bunch of big expenses, it reduced your profit, yes. However, that also reduces that equity portion that we talked about. It's keeping, you know, doing that is keeping your equity small. And the lender is looking at equity. They want to see a big equity number. And so if you listen to CPA, then maybe you won't be able to get the financing you need to take that next step in your business. So they're both giving you advice. They just can't be right at the same time, depending on what you need. So that's where I come in with my clients and have these conversations with them to know their goals and dreams. And we're not just looking at today or this month, but like a year from now, 2 years from now. And that's kind of the timeline we got to maintain, because a decision now to file taxes with big expenses, you know, that's going to be there for the next year or more. You know, the result of that and the numbers that the banker is looking at. So having this third professional to sit shoulder to shoulder with you, knowing your goals and dreams, can help guide you. Okay, yes, you could do that, but it's going to cause an impact over here that might not be so good for you. So let's find you somewhere in the middle that's gonna get you what you need for your business, which again is that vehicle to help your personal life in your family household situation.
Yeah, that's such great advice. And I think it's just, yeah, not something people always think about, the different advice that they might be getting from different professionals based on the stage of life they're in and how those things could be potentially conflicting. And but yeah, having that third one, the bookkeeper, is incredibly helpful. So that's just great, great advice. As we're wrapping up here, Andrew, is there anything else that you would like to share or add?
All right. So to boil it all down, I started with the tip number one is getting visibility and awareness on the financial situation. you know, a lot of times we think of bookkeeping as just looking backward, just recording what happened. I want to try to help change that where we can use that information, because that information is good and it needs to be accurate, but you can use that information to change your future. Not just looking at the past, but changing the future by knowing what to look at and using that information to guide your decision-making so that you can make the best decisions in your business. And I want that for you so that you can grow your business to exactly the level that you want, and so that it's providing your personal family and household goals and dreams. That's what I want for you and anyone I'm working with. That's kind of my driving force, to get away from just looking back historically.
I love that. That's such a good way to look at it. It's not just looking back at things. It's how you can use that for your future and planning for how to move forward in your business. So I love that. And I think that will resonate a lot with our listeners. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Andrew. It's just been super fun chatting with you about all of this. And like I mentioned before, I am not a numbers person. So this kind of thing does not come naturally to me. I'm definitely more of like the creative brained person, and you being the analytical numbers minded person is really great. I think we complement each other super well in that, and having you kind of help me so much with this side of my business over the years has just been really incredible. And I genuinely don't know how I would be struggling a lot more in my business if I didn't have your help. Like, I don't know what I would have done if I was just trying to manage all of that side of the business on my own. So I just wanted you to know how much I appreciate everything you've done for my business, because it's a lot and it's just very much appreciated. So.
Well, Becky, you're very welcome for all that. It's been a pleasure helping you with that. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm honored to be your first guest for these early episodes, and I really can't wait to see where you take this thing. Another awesome product put out by Becky Hart. Way to go.
Well, thank you. I'm also very excited. So we'll see what happens. Okay. So lastly, I just wanted to share with our listeners that you have an awesome course coming out called QBO for Startups. And I thought you could just share a little bit about what that course entails. And I know that you're going to have a discount code that we'll be able to put in the show notes, so that if anybody listening to this would like to sign up for it, they can get in early with that discount. So why don't you just share a little bit about what QBO for Startups is?
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it. So just like the name says, it's for that phase of business where you're not ready to hire a professional, but you still need the bookkeeping done. At the very least, just to be ready for end of year taxes, and you want it to be good. But I'm not going to leave you hanging. I go into so much of this analytics and reporting, and I teach you how to do that too in your own business, so that you can see if you need to make some different decisions to keep your margins up, to see what's going on with your cash, or other decisions that you need to make to make sure that the business is doing what you want it to. You're in control, not the business. So there's a lot to be done in the business, and it can get out of control. It can get really behind and be really confusing. I don't want that for you or anyone. So that's why I made this course to keep the system, the financial accounting system, up to date with accurate numbers that you can trust and rely on, and make the best decisions that you can from it.
Awesome. Well, like I said, I'll include the link to that and the discount code in the show notes, so everyone can check that out there. And thank you again for being willing to do this episode with me. I really appreciate it. If anyone wants to reach out to you, if anyone wants to say, hey, I need a bookkeeper, how can I get in touch with Andrew? Where can they find you and how can they reach you?
Yeah, well, gosh, thanks for asking. Best place to go would be my website. That's heartsystemsbookkeeping.com. And Hart is my last name, our last name, Hart, systemsbookkeeping.com.
Awesome. And I'll make sure that we have that in the show notes as well. Alrighty, well, I think we're ready to wrap it up. I'm going to go get the oven going so we can have our pizza for dinner tonight.
Man, great day.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll see you in a minute.
All right, bye-bye.